Brilliant. Okay. Well, again, good morning. It's great to be in God's presence. It's great to worship. And I hope you're having a good Sunday at Hope Church in God's presence. Well, Sam began a preaching series last week entitled Forgotten God, looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to briefly recap. The Holy Spirit is a person who lives and dwells inside of us. Thank you, Andy. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. As a Christian, there's this incredible reality that God dwells inside of you. It's the only religion that even claims to have God in us. Every other religion has an idol that you worship, or a spirit, or a being that you have to keep placated, or you have to follow their rules, but they're outside of you. Christianity alone has God inside of us. And yet, Jesus says in John 16 and verse 7, it is to your advantage, he says to the disciples, that I, that's Jesus, go away so that the Holy Spirit can be with you. Jesus says it's good that I go to be with the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell inside of you. And what we're going to be looking at today is that forgotten God, the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of us. And I've got three questions that I want to look at in relation to the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of us. Number one, can you tell the difference? Can you tell the difference that the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling inside of you as a believer, inside of me as a believer? Let me read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. It says this: do you not know that your bodies are temples to the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Here's the thing. If our bodies are spirit temples of the Holy Spirit and God dwells inside of us, then shouldn't there be a big difference between the person who has the Holy Spirit, God, dwelling inside of them, and the person on the street who does not have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of them? Shouldn't there be a big difference? When we look at the church, when we look at Christians, sadly, that's not always the case. Are Christians who have the Holy Spirit living, dwelling inside of them actually that different from the rest of the world? Are they actually that different from their work colleagues, from the neighbor who lives next door, from the person they grew up with and went to school with? Is there a difference in your life because the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of you? Let me give you a one-minute tour of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on individuals for specific purposes. Let me give you just two examples. So Samson. The Holy Spirit came on Samson. Judges 14 and verse 6 says, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson so that he tore lions apart with his bare hands. I know some of you are thinking, yeah, man, I want the Holy Spirit to come upon me like that. But in the Old Testament, it was individuals for specific purposes. One more example, Exodus 31, verse 2 to 3. A man called Bezalel says this in Exodus 31. See, I have called Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all kinds of craftsmanship. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to have the gift of craftsmanship and creativity. You go all the way through the pages of the Old Testament, you will see David, you will see the prophets, that the Holy Spirit came upon them specific men, specific women, for specific instances, for specific events that God calls them to do. Then we get to Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus at his baptism has the Holy Spirit descend upon him like a dove. Then we see the difference that that makes in his life. If you want to see a Spirit-filled life, if you want to see the difference that the Holy Spirit makes to a humankind, you look at Jesus. Jesus is the one who shows us. Jesus is the one who shows us what it's like to live a Spirit-filled life. We sometimes think, oh, it's the man with the white suit on the TV, or it's this personality or that personality. No, no, no. A Spirit-filled man that we want to see, that we want to follow, is Jesus Christ. Jesus models to us being Spirit-filled and the difference that that makes. We then come to Acts, the book of Acts, and the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, the prophecy in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 is fulfilled. And afterwards, Joel says, in 500 years before, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. The Holy Spirit poured out on everyone. All tribes, all tongues, all nations, men and women, no matter about social class, no matter about background. And the difference was there to be seen. The difference was a cowardly bunch of disciples in Acts chapter 1 hiding away from the authorities to in Acts chapter 2 being filled with the Spirit and out courageously, boldly preaching the gospel. I love what it says in Acts 4 and verse 13. The crowds were astonished by the boldness of the apostles. It was astonishing. They could see the difference. They could see that something had changed, that a difference had come about. And in the book of Acts, all the way through it, the world notices a bunch of ordinary fishermen and ordinary tax collectors, ordinary men and women. They notice the difference that they make in the world. What has changed? What has changed? The Holy Spirit has come to live and dwell inside of ordinary people. Ordinary people like you and me. So let me come back to today. Let me come back to our lives again, in our workplaces, on the streets, when we're out socializing. Would people know the difference? Would they know, if they walked into a room, who has the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of them and who doesn't? Again, often, sadly, the answer is no. But how is that possible? How is that even possible that God dwells inside of us and yet it doesn't make a difference? Here's something that really struck me this week, thinking about this, praying, preparing. The early church knew very little about the Holy Spirit as an intellectual, theological reality. They knew very little. But they experienced the Holy Spirit in such powerful and intimate ways. And today, we see often the other way around. We know an incredible amount about the Holy Spirit. If you go into any bookshop, Christian bookshop, there are rows and rows of books on the Holy Spirit. Great knowledge. And knowledge is good, but great knowledge, and yet often so little experience of the intimacy and the power of the Holy Spirit. Francis Chan uses this analogy in his book, Forgotten God. He says this, imagine the life of a caterpillar. He gives the analogy of a caterpillar. For all a caterpillar's life, it kind of crawls along on a small little patch of dirt on its leaves, just crawling along this kind of funny little furry slug-like figure. And then one day, that caterpillar takes a nap. That caterpillar goes to sleep, and it has a very, 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 very long nap. And then what must go on in the head of the caterpillar? Because the caterpillar wakes up, and suddenly it's transformed. And you know what? It can fly. That little worm body is now this beautiful butterfly that can fly. And he makes the analogy and the link, and he says, well, as believers, we ought to experience the same kind of astonishment of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of us. And that when that happens, we become a new creation. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to live differently. No longer are we like a caterpillar just going around on the floor. We have an ability to fly. We have a new reality. The Holy Spirit is in us, so there's a Spirit-empowered ability to live differently. I don't know about you, but I don't want to, as a Christian, keep crawling around on the floor when I have in me the ability to fly, the ability to be that butterfly. God dwells inside of you, so the world should be able to see the difference, that you can fly, that there's a difference, that there's a different reality in you because God dwells in you. Let me just make one other side note here. The interesting thing about the book of Acts and all the difference that the apostles and the early Christians make, the interesting thing is almost all of those instances where the Christians make a difference and there's supernatural miracles and they're bold and they're fearless, it all comes when the Christians are out in the world. They're not in church. They're out in the world, in the workplace, on the streets, with friends and interacting with people. There, people can see you're different, astonished. Your believers are different. They're bold. They're fearless. They live differently. They love one another. There's a difference. And that difference that Christians can fly, that Christians are different, is out there in the world. It's out there in the world that people can see that we are different. So that's the first question. Can people see a difference? The Holy Spirit dwells and lives inside of us. That there should be. Secondly, what barriers are there when it comes to the Holy Spirit? When it comes to our lives and the Holy Spirit having control and the Holy Spirit doing the things we see in Scripture, what are some of the barriers that come in the way? Jesus says this in Luke 11 and verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? My question is, do we actually believe that verse? Do we believe that if we ask God for more, if we ask God for His Holy Spirit, more of His Holy Spirit, do we believe that He will give it? Do we believe, or do we doubt, or do we struggle that that is true? And I want to look very quickly at three barriers, three obstacles that can often get in the way. The first one is this. The first one is our appearance. How we look is very important. How we look and come across to others is very important. For you, it might be the way you dress. For you, it might be your job or your role in society. It may be the way you carry your family. It may be anything, and they're not wrong, but they're things and ways that are important to us, the appearance that we give to the world. And as Christians, we can also care about the spiritual vibe that we give off to others. We can care about the way that we come across to others. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, some of us kind of have different struggles within us when it comes to the Holy Spirit. If we're maybe from a more conservative background and a conservative teaching when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we can be worried about going too far and getting too emotional and getting too far into things of the Holy Spirit. If we come from maybe a more Pentecostal background, where we've grown up with the things of the Spirit, we can have like this danger of like, I must make certain things happen. I must do certain things and act in a certain way to fulfill these expectations and bring forth this appearance. And if we're not careful, when it comes to our own relationship with the Holy Spirit, we can struggle with these appearances and these pressures that are put upon us. Let me be very clear to you. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, it led people to know God. The Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. Is it sometimes a bit strange? Yes. Do we not always understand what is going on? Yes. Do we sometimes have to swallow our pride and go with things that we don't quite get? Yes. We have to shed our pride because we are following the Holy Spirit in pointing people to Jesus. In pointing people to Jesus. So let me say, don't let the way you come across, don't let hang-ups from your past or the way you appear be a barrier to your relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's the first barrier and obstacle that we can often face. The second one is comfort. We can live lives that are just safe. And I believe that's a massive barrier, especially for us in the West, here in London, in the UK. We can just live our comfortable Christian lives almost without any need for the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes through in situations where we need God. The Holy Spirit is our empowerer and our comforter and our counselor. Well, you know what? Sometimes you need a situation for the Holy Spirit to come through and empower you. Or you need a situation for the Holy Spirit to come through and counsel you and guide you and lead you. You know, when you are up against it in the staff canteen and people are asking questions about suffering or about Jesus or about other religions, that's when you need the Holy Spirit to guide your conversation. That's when you need the Holy Spirit to give you the words that logically and intellectually you don't have. When that difficult phone call comes and someone says, you know, so-and-so, my dear friend has died tragically, this terrible suffering, that's when you need the Holy Spirit to know what to say, to be able to comfort, to be able to provide hope. That's when you need the helper, the comforter, the empowerer. So my challenge to you is, you know, do you live a life where you actually really need the Holy Spirit to come through for you? Do you ever put yourself in situations where you open your mouth and you don't quite know where it's going to go unless God comes through? Do you put yourself into a situation where you'll give away money because God has called you to do that, to be generous and give away sacrificially, and yet you don't know where that money is going to come back in to provide for you? You know, we have to put ourselves in this situation where God comes through for us. We're not called to live a comfortable, all sewn up, all beautifully arranged life. That's not the life that Jesus calls us to. There's a powerful story from July 2007, a true story, of 23 missionaries. Many of you may well remember this, but 23 missionaries were held hostage by the Taliban in Afghanistan. It was on the news, it was everywhere. And the Taliban actually executed two of these missionaries before a deal was reached for the other 21 to be released. Now, one of these missionaries was recounting events and telling people what had happened after the events, after they'd been safely released and were back in their homes and back with their friends. And he recounts that it was an amazing time for those 23 missionaries who were imprisoned together. He recounts how they together were worshiping and how they together surrendered their lives to the Lord. Together they worshiped. They said, whatever may happen, whatever may be the outcome of this imprisonment, we worship the Lord and give ourselves to God. He recounts how someone had a Bible and they split it into 23 pieces so that each one had a piece of scripture in their back pocket that they could quickly read and recount when the guards weren't looking. It got them through their 40 days of imprisonment. He recounts all that happened over that 40 days until they were released. But here's the fascinating thing. The missionary said, several of the team members had been in contact in the months following. And they said something very strange. They said, in one respect, they wished that they were back there in that imprisonment. They wished that they were back in their cells, back imprisoned, because they had experienced such a deep sense of intimacy with Jesus in that prison cell, that they hadn't been able to recapture in their comfortable lives now that they were released. It's a challenging thing for them to say. That in the threat of death, in the loneliness of a prison cell, there was such an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. There was such an intimacy of having surrendered and given their all to the Lord Jesus. There was something so sweet and so beautiful about that radical declaration of saying, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm all yours. Whatever may happen tomorrow, when the prison door opens, whatever may be the next event, I am yours. We can sometimes let a comfortable life be a barrier to the things of God. We're called to a life of risks, a life of following God, a life which is out of the comfort zone. Third obstacle that we can often face, and Sam touched on this last week, but it's distraction, it's noise, it's life being so loud. Do you know, I caught myself the other day, I was sitting in my house. The music was on, I was on my laptop, the TV was on, and then the phone went and I picked a call. 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? Multitask, like noise, TV, music, laptop, emails, phone call, noise, noise, noise. So many of us, that's our day, that's our week, that's our life. And we can be afraid of time alone with God. And yet look at Jesus. The Spirit-filled man that we're to emulate. He spent time alone with God. He spent time set aside to just stand at the feet of his Father, to receive, to be refreshed, and then to go again. How do we overcome that? How do we overcome that busyness? How do we overcome the demands on our life? Well, just three very simple things that for me work. I pray a little prayer when I'm walking down the street or I'm about to go to a meeting or I'm just beginning my day or on a run. I just pray this very simple prayer. It's one word. It's Maranatha. It's the early church and it means come Holy Spirit. And I'll pray that when I go into a meeting, into a whatever it is, because I'll just say, God, I need you. I want to connect with you. I want to connect with your power. I want to connect with your wisdom. I want to connect with you, my counselor, my friend. I want to connect with you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and be in this meeting. Come and be in this gathering. Come and be in this run I'm on. Come and be in this family meal that we're about to have. Maranatha. Another very simple thing that works for me is when I make a cup of tea, or when I have a swig of Coke or juice or water, whatever it is, when I'm physically drinking, I will be saying, God, come, 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 and spiritually refresh me. Just like we physically need to drink water to drink our teas and coffees, we need to physically drink. So spiritually we need to drink. So for me, it works to make the link that when I physically drink, then I am spiritually saying, as I drink this cup of tea, Holy Spirit, come and refresh me. Holy Spirit, come and empower me. Holy Spirit, come and help me as I sip my tea, as I drink my coffee on the train, whatever it may be. I need you, Holy Spirit. Come in my life. Come into my day. As I drink, I drink. As I drink, I drink. And then the last thing, and this is a gear change. This is difficult. And I'll be honest, seasons in my life I've done this, and seasons in my life I've struggled. But I want to say to myself most weeks, Mark, are you going to put yourself into a situation somewhere this week or somewhere today where you need God? Somewhere. Whether it be going to just chat to a homeless person on the street and you don't know what you're going to say, but you just know that God's guiding you to talk to them, and you're just putting yourself in that position for then the Holy Spirit to give you the words. Or you're going to phone someone that's not been at church for a long time, or someone you know is hurting, and you think, I don't know what I'm going to say. I've really got no words that can really help them, but I'm going to phone them. I'm going to do it because I'm going to give that opportunity for then the Holy Spirit to come and the Holy Spirit to then make that difference. They're just really practical things that work for me. Maranatha, come Holy Spirit. As I drink physically, I'm drinking spiritually. And I put myself, or I try and put myself, into situations where I need God. Galatians 3, verse 13 to 14. I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to summarize. It says, Christ died so that we by faith might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think of the cross and the gospel like this. The cross and the gospel give us a place in heaven. It sets us free from Satan's reign in our life. And it also gives us the Holy Spirit to live out in our everyday life. And you see, the gospel, the cross, is linked to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we separate them. We go, oh, there's the cross, praise the Lord, God's grace, save me. And then we go, oh, and there's the Holy Spirit over here. Galatians 3, 13 to 14, it links the two. It links them. The cross is linked to then you receiving the Spirit at salvation and then living out a Spirit-filled life. So let me challenge you, ask more of God. Ask more of the Holy Spirit. Overcome those obstacles and live a Spirit-filled life. Final question I want to ask this morning. How do you know God's leading in your life? How do you know what God is calling you to do? Some people will say, you know, how do I know God's will in my life? Well, here's the honest truth. Very, very few of us will know his long-term plan for our life. Most of us are like Abraham. God says, go. Abraham goes. And as Abraham goes, God guides. That's how he works with most of us. God says, do what I've called you to do today. And as you go, I will lead you. And as you go, I will lead you. As you go, I will lead you. So let me put it to you. It's not so much about God's will for my life. It's more, what is your response to God's leading today? What's your response to God speaking to you on Sunday the 17th of November? What are you going to do with that? That's following God's guidance and God's leading. Not worrying about what lies ahead in 2021. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 25 says something very similar. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit leads, we are to follow. And as we follow God's leadings, as we follow God's promptings, he will reveal the plans and the purposes that he has for us. As we go, as we walk, God reveals the plans he has for us. Remember, we're disciples. That's what Christians are called, disciples. Followers of Jesus. So there's a daily surrendering to the activity of the Holy Spirit. A daily saying, today, Lord, I am going to follow you. I'm going to follow your promptings. I'm going to keep in step with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I need to just illustrate this. I think it's really helpful. It's a very simple illustration, but it's a really helpful illustration. Yasmin, can I borrow you? And Lily, can I borrow you? Just come and stand. You haven't got to say anything. I just need you to stand and walk in opposite directions. So if you could both stand there in front of me and face everyone, okay? All right, so just come back a little bit and back closer together. Okay, brilliant. Okay, so just for a minute, imagine. Okay, there's no kind of like nothing meant in this, but just so you know, Yasmin's the Holy Spirit, okay? And Lily is, just for the sake of this illustration, okay? The world, the flesh, and the devil, okay? Just for the sake of this illustration, all right? Okay, Lily will get me afterwards, all right? So I want you just, because I think this is so helpful for you to visualize this and see this, because the Holy Spirit is talked about as a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, okay? So as I begin my day, here's my dilemma, here's my challenge. What am I going to do? Okay, just I want you to go. Just walk directly over to that door and walk over to there. Do I follow the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit, or do I walk and go with the world, the flesh, and the devil? Come back, if you would. Okay, so let me just say. So, look, here I am. It's Monday morning. I wake up, okay, and I have a decision to make. Okay, am I going to go and keep in step with the Holy Spirit? Am I going to go with my fleshy desires? Am I going to go with what the world tells me to do? Am I going to go with the temptations of the devil? What am I going to do? Okay, I wake up in the morning. Girls, if you could walk each way. And I follow. And I follow my desires. I follow my worldly, earthly thoughts and passions and go that way. And here's the thing, if you come back. When I'm doing that, then I'm not keeping in step with the Spirit. I'm not following God's leading and God's guidance. You can do one more. We can go sit down. Come back closer together. But just imagine I begin my Monday morning and I say, Lord, I surrender to you. Lord, I'm going to keep in step with you and follow your promptings and your guidings. Okay, go. Okay, and I keep in step with the Holy Spirit. I keep into his promptings and his walkings and his promptings and his walkings. Here's the thing. While I'm keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, I'm not sinning. Okay, when you keep in step, thank you, you two, you can sit down. When you keep in step with the Holy Spirit, let me tell you this, you will not sin. When you follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your daily life, you do not sin. Because it's impossible to keep in step with the Holy Spirit and to sin. It's completely impossible. So when you sin, when you mess up, when you go wrong, when you go with your urges or temptations or you follow the way of the world, you are not walking in step with the Spirit. You're keeping in step with the world or the flesh or the devil's promptings. It's one or the other. If you follow the Holy Spirit and keep in step with the Holy Spirit, you cannot sin. When you sin, you are ignoring the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God will give you that choice. God will say to you Monday morning, what are you going to do? You're going to keep in step with my promptings and my leadings? You're going to follow me? Or you're going to go the way of the world, the way of your flesh, the way of the devil? What are you going to do? When you follow the Holy Spirit, you will not sin. They're contrary. So some of you, you'll be stuck in a cycle of sin, in a cycle of things which are just not good for you. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You need to turn certain things off. You need to stop going with certain friends. You need to stop doing certain things and following the promptings and the leadings of the Holy Spirit. If you do that, you will not sin. And then let me just be positive about it, because we can often think of it in a kind of like battling sin and temptation sense, which is true. But also, think about it like this. Are you following and are you listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit when you're in the queue in Tesco's? Are you thinking, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you telling me to do? Are you telling me to talk to that person? Are you telling me to be kind to that lady who's struggling with her shopping? What are you telling me to do? Because, you know, we can think of it in that kind of like, I'm not going to sin or go with the way of the world. I'm going to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's good. But also think about it positively. Think about it positively. I'm in a situation. Should I open my mouth and talk about certain topics which I know will lead to conversations? Is the Holy Spirit leading me there? Is the Holy Spirit guiding me there? Is the Holy Spirit opening up that opportunity? Yes, he is. Well, I'll open my mouth and then I'll take that step of faith and I'll be bold. You see, it's not only a way of battling sin and temptation, it's also a way of following what God has for our life. So I want to kind of sum it up and say it's a bit like this. You know, we have a choice each day to do our own thing and walk our own path, or we can follow the Spirit's call, the Spirit's prompting into the things he has called you to. And let me tell you, if you do that on a day-to-day basis, then you will fulfill the call and purposes in your life. A final thing on this. Many people will say, okay, life walking in the Spirit, okay, so Mark, who is it? Is it me and my kind of like works and my single-mindedness that walks in step with the Spirit? Is it me or is it God? I'm like some kind of zombie and I kind of just walk with God taking me this way. You know, which is it? Is it all God or is it all me? The reality is, it's both. It's both. Francis Chan uses this analogy where he said it's like a loaf of bread. If you look at a loaf of bread, you say, well, what made that bread? Was it the yeast or was it the flour? Which is more important, the yeast or the flour? The answer is both. Without the flour, you don't have bread. Without the yeast, you don't have bread. In our spiritual lives, it is God's work in our lives and our action in our lives is both. Let me read a final scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13 says this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. Can you see the two things in verse 12 and 13? If we're told to work out our salvation, but then it says, it is God who works it out in you. Yes, it's God, and yes, it's you. That's the life of the Spirit. The life of the Spirit is God is in you, his power is in you, and it's our response. It's our response to his leading. It's our response to his power. It's our response to his anointing in a daily, ongoing basis. And you say, that's not neat, and it doesn't kind of like sign on the dotted line. Yes, true, but that's the Christian life. The Christian life is this, I'm at work and God's at work. And as God's at work, then I'm at work. And as I do my bit, God does his. And together we follow the plan, the purposes he has for our life. That's a life, walking, living in the Spirit. So I want to challenge, I want to kind of like sum up. I want it to be as really practical today. I want it to be like, practically, you talk about the Holy Spirit, as I said, in an intellectual entity. You can talk about all the kind of theological yeses and nos and in-betweens, but you have to be practical. Practical about God living and dwelling inside of you. So practically, the Holy Spirit makes the difference. My question to you is the Holy Spirit making a difference in your life? Will other people notice? Something different about them. There's something different about the way they carry themselves, about the peace in their life, about the way they handle circumstances. There's a boldness that I don't know where it comes from. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that makes a difference. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the words. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the wisdom. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the peace. Secondly, there will be barriers. There will be obstacles that all of us have. For some, it will be the appearance thing and hang-ups from the past. Or for some, it is just your life's so noisy and it's so all over the place that there's no space to sit and ask for God's Spirit to come. And there's no space for you to devote to be with the Lord. That there's just none of that. Whatever obstacle it may be, my challenge is ask. Ask. Ask, pray. Ask simple prayers. Maranatha, come Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit when you walk into a meeting. Ask for the Holy Spirit when you go to see a friend. Ask, ask, ask. And let's this week challenge ourselves to keep in step, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, to keep walking the way that he's called us to keep walking the steps that he has called us to, the way that he has called us to. Both if we're walking in the Spirit, we will not sin, but also we walk into our calling. We walk into adventure. We walk into the things that God has called for us. Ben, could you come up and could everyone stand? Let's all stand. just while the band are coming up, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to leave a little bit of space, just a little bit of quiet, a little bit of space before the Lord, and then the band will go into a song. I want to just say two things before I pray. One, don't be uncomfortable with a little bit of silence, a little bit of quiet. Some of us find that really difficult. Look at my phone, I've got to kind of think about what's for dinner. You know, don't do that. Try and just focus on the Lord who is in you and asking and conveying and talking to the Lord in that moment of silence. And just let yourself be and let yourself receive and let the love of God just wash over you. So just enjoy that silence. Enjoy that moment of silence after I prayed. And then the second thing I want to say is the band will lead us in a worship song. Often it's worship that allows the Holy Spirit to kind of freely come as we sing songs, as we worship, as we sing songs. It just releases something of the Holy Spirit amongst us. And use the words of a song we're singing, or use your own song, sing in the language of your mother country, sing in tongues, whatever it may be, but just use the chance with the music just to speak to the Lord. And we often find that in times of worship, the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit does beautiful things amongst us. So I'm going to pray. We're going to leave a little bit of space, a little bit of quiet, and then the band will lead us in a song. And like in this response, the important thing is it's for everybody. It's for all of us. And we'll all kind of have different experiences. That's great. Different ways that God relates to us, relating to our personality, relating to our relationship with God. He knows you. There's no one size fits all in the way the Holy Spirit deals with different people and encourages and blesses different people. There's no one size fits all. So God will do different things with different people. God will meet people in different ways. So let me pray. We'll then leave just a moment or two in silence, in quiet in this place, and then Jonathan will lead us and we'll worship. And as we worship, I believe just many of us will meet with God as we worship and as we spend time in His presence. Father God, I thank You that as Christians, as believers, we have God inside of us. You're not out there, You're in there. You're inside of us. The very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave lives and dwells inside of us. Whether we feel that's true or not, whether even our experience to this point would believe that to be true or not, if we're a Christian, it is true that the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the grave lives and dwells inside of us. So I want to pray, Lord, over each and every one of us. A very simple prayer. I want to pray Maranatha. I want to pray, come Holy Spirit. I want to pray that we would all come and drink from the waters of the Holy Spirit. That in our own way, in our relationship with You, we would drink. As we drink physically, we would drink spiritually from Your Spirit, and we would be changed. We would be different. The world would see that an ordinary ragtag bunch of people would just be so radically different because the supernatural God lives and dwells inside of us. So Maranatha, come Holy Spirit. In the quiet, in this moment, we pray, come Holy Spirit.